And now we're going to get right into the communion service. We're going to go with that scripture of our Savior as he was being tried. Matthew chapter 27, if you wish to follow along. And verse 41. I want you to remember, as it was written in the Old Testament in the great book of Isaiah, that he was delivered up as a sheep to the slaughter, and he never opened his mouth. He didn't whimper. He didn't complain. He did not say, let's put this off till tomorrow. He did it for you, and he did it that day. He was that Passover lamb. And as it is written in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 6 and 7, he became our Passover. He is our Passover. That's what Passover is about. And we thank our Father that we have that privilege to serve him. For indeed, he laid it all on the line for us. And in verse 41 of this 27th chapter, we read, likewise also the chief priests mocked him with the scribes and elders when they said, he saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he be the king of Israel, let him now come down from the cross and we will believe. Well, they wouldn't have if he had. He could have come down if he had wanted to. But he was doing it for us, paying this price, that he would be the sacrifice for one and all times, and all blood rituals would be nailed to the cross by his act on that cross, as it is recorded in the great book of Hebrews, chapter 10. I want you to note that even they did not say the king of Judea, said the king of Israel. That's all tribes. He trusted in God, let him deliver him, if he will have him, for he said, I am the Son of God. I want you to remember these mockeries, for it was prophesied 1,000 years before that these enemies of God would say these words. That gives you proof that man couldn't arrange this. It had to be of God. To even put words in the wicked priest's mouth. This chief priest was not appointed by God, but by a Roman governor. He cared about as much about the church as, or as little about it as anyone could think or say. 44. The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. Now, from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. There we have it, from noon until about 3. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Many of them standing there thought, the Romans thought, he's calling Elijah. No, he was talking about Psalms 22. He was quoting it verbatim, in the language in which it was written. And he never, never called our Father God. He always called him Father. So therefore, documenting that he wanted you to absorb Psalms 22. He wanted you to cover it. Why? It's about you, in part. It's about the crucifixion, exactly what was going on. So he was teaching, even as he was on that cross, teaching you. So let's turn to Psalms 22 and understand, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. Psalms 22 is the psalm of death. Psalms 23, which is usually read at many funeral services, is the psalm of resurrection. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leadeth me in fantastic pastures. That means he feeds me scripture that enables me. That's Psalms 23. But here's what he quoted in Psalms 22. My God, Why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? In other words, he's quoting David. But the message David gives is for you today to document that being a Christian is the right path, that it's what God would have you choose. Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not in the night season and am not silent. I don't get any rest, David said here. And I believe Christ repeated every word of this psalm on the cross. And I'll tell you why when we finish. Verse 3, but thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted, and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee and were delivered. They trusted in thee and were not confounded. They weren't confused and they weren't disgraced. It pays dividends to believe in you. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of people. That's the way he was being treated, you understand. They spat upon him, beat him, put a crown of thorns upon him. He never whimpered. He never said, let's put this off till tomorrow. He knew what he was doing for you. Verse 7, all they that see him laugh me to scorn. That see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip, they shake the head, saying, he trusted, these are the words of that chief priest, listen to them. He trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. You see, man couldn't arrange that. But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou art, didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. You had your hand on me from the time I was a small baby. And certainly he did, because Joseph and Mary took him to Egypt for a spell to protect him, to see that he was safe, to see that he could come to this day, the day in which he paid that ultimate price. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. I mean, all the men had ran. They left him. There was a few women on a hill nearby that stayed. And I have to say, for John did stay, and God, Christ sent him with his mother to take her home. John didn't run. Verse 12. Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me around. Bashan was known for its huge animals and fruit, everything fruitful there. 13. They yapped upon me with their mouths as a raving and a roaring lion. They talked against me, against truth. Beloved, they'll do it again today. Okay? Sometimes you can be offended if you're thin-skinned by what people of this world will say about belief, about Christ. But you know the truth. And the truth abides in you, and God's blessings abide in you, and it doesn't matter. You see, we have the victory. We are the winners. Why? Because we follow him, and he's the chief winner. 14, I am poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. In other words, my arms are stretched from socket, nailed to the cross. Again, written 1,000 years before the fact, letting us know that this was an act of God, that Emmanuel, God with us, God himself paying this awesome price. For who? For us, for you. Well, I didn't know I was that important. He loves you. You're his child. Why wouldn't he? What would you do for your children? Think about it. Because he does love you. And he was on that cross. And even as his arms were pulled from socket, he was thinking of you. I'll document that in a moment. My strength is dried up like a potsherd. I'm as dry as an old broken piece of pottery out in the sun. And my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. And thou hast brought me into the dust of death. I'm just really not long now. For dogs, this is enemies translated properly, have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked hath enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. And there he was nailed to that cross. Exactly as it was predicted in the first prophecy of God's word. In Genesis chapter 3, verses 15 and 16. I will put enmity between, speaking to the serpent, Satan, the devil. I will put enmity between thy seed and the woman's seed. You will bruise his heel, but he shall bruise your head. And that's why God has bruisers. They pierced him. I may tell all my bones, they look and they stare upon me. He did this publicly, hanging on that cross, in the open, with people sneering at him. He still did it for you. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. And as you well know, the Roman soldiers gambled for that robe that was placed upon him. How could that be 1,000 years before the fact? It came to pass exactly it was written. Why? To comfort you. To let you know God's in control. God controls people. God is able to do whatever and whomever he wishes. But be not far from me, O Lord, O my strength. Haste thee to help me. And of course he would. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling, same word as soul translated before. My soul from the power of the dog, the enemy. And naturally, the enemy never received that soul. Save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorn. This word unicorn in the Hebrew is wild ox. There's no such thing as a unicorn. Okay. Wild ox. 22 famous words I'm about to read. I will declare thy name unto my brethren in the midst of the congregation while I praise thee. Do you know where those words are written? Way over in the book of Hebrews. And again, he gives the reason for his death on the cross, what his main purpose was. He does it in verse 14 when it speaks of why he died on the cross. For as much then as the children are partakers of the flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death, through that crucifixion we're reading of, he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. In other words, the devil's name is death. He died on the cross so that he can sentence Satan to death. And why? Because death, Satan sentenced him to death. As they were gathered around just before this part we're reading, the mob, and within that mob were the Kenites screaming out, "Crucify him!" And the mob went bananas. That's a colloquial saying, okay? They really did. A little encouragement, okay? But is it any accident that that same verse is mentioned there with the reason? What he's saying there in that Hebrews chapter 2, I want you to know, I ask you to come here in the flesh, and I know it's not fun sometimes if you're not careful. But I did it myself to show you how to do it, how it was done, how to do it successfully. Returning to Psalms 22, verse 23. Ye that fear the Lord, praise him. All ye that the seed of Jacob, glorify him. And fear him, all you seed of Israel. This word fear can translate both ways, reverence or fear, revere or fear, same word. I would much rather revere him than fear him. I have great difficulty in fearing him because I love him and I love to serve him. So I cannot help but revere him, he who would pay this price for us. 24, for he hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, neither hath he hid his face from him, but when he cried unto him, he heard. God will always hear you. You may doubt at times that he can, but God always hears you. And as it is written in the great book of Revelation, all prayers are in that bottle that are released when God is ready to declare, this is the day of vengeance. Those prayers all come forth. So he hears. He hears you. Don't you ever, ever doubt that he heard your prayer. He only answers prayer when he's ready and when it's deserved. You know, every promise God made has a condition. There's always an if there, okay? And you must meet that criteria before he's going to answer your prayer, before he's going to lead you, guide you, direct you. So, verse 25, my praise shall be of thee in the great congregation. I will pay my vows before them that fear him, that love him. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord and seek him. Your heart shall live forever. Do you want eternal life? That's what it's about. Is our Father granting eternal life? There's a decision that's made when some go to eternal life. The other path goes straight to hell, okay, after the great white throne judgment, to be blotted out. So life forever is a beautiful, beautiful thing, especially with this earth put back in the condition it was before man spoiled it, before the creation itself, even now, is polluted, groans for that return and to be things to be put back right. Verse 27, all the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord, and all the kindreds of the nation shall worship before him, and they will. On the first day of the millennium, every knee, no exception, every knee shall bow before the Lord Jesus Christ. 28, and they won't stay that way all through the millennium, but the first day it will. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the governor among the nations. You want to know who's in charge? You want to join the winning party? It's God's party. He always wins. And we have the victory in him in daily life, always. For the kingdom is the Lord's, he is the governor of all nations. 29, all they that be fat upon earth shall eat and worship, and all they that go down to the dust shall bow before him, and none can keep alive his own soul. You've got to have him to live. You either are with him or you're without. Do you know why Eve is called the mother of all living? Because through Eve's womb, umbilical cord to umbilical cord, would come this Christ child, this one being crucified for all peoples. And if you are in him, whoever you are, you're living. You have eternal life. But then on the other hand, if you do not have the Son, you don't have eternal life, and life is just a short spell for you. It will end on the great white throne judgment. Now listen carefully as he sums this up. A seed shall serve him. That's his election. It shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. It's the generation of the fig tree. The generation living at this time, when the seven spirits must go forward, when the Holy Spirit speaks through them, when God himself, the very voice of God, rings forth through that generation. It's a generation that he loves and that serves him and that loves him. 31, they shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born, that he hath done this. The reason I tell you he taught this whole psalm on the cross before he gave up the ghost, because in chapter 19, verse 30, his last words on the cross were, "It is finished." And that is the Greek. The Hebrew equivalent of that is that he hath done this. In other words, it's finished. That says it all. Nothing else need be said. He paid that price. Never, never complain. You know, sometimes I'm sure that he's real proud of us, because it may be that you're having a hard day and you might get into one of those times in life where you say, "I just wonder why all this is happening to me." Well, wake up, okay? Leave trouble to other people. You don't need it, okay? Well, who in the world in their life wants to wait around in stuff, okay? You don't want that. You know what? It's not wise. Stay out of that kind of thing. Walk with him and walk in him, because he paid that price, that you have that prerogative, that you can find that peace. Peace of mind is one of the most valuable things in the world. Peace of mind comes from the Word of God. The assuredness. 1,000 years before the fact, it was written down to even the words of that chief priest who was appointed by a Roman governor, because God interceded. Why? To show you he could, that you can trust him. If he made this come to pass as it is written, then you can count on the rest of his word coming to pass as it is written. That's why you want to absorb it. That's why when God said in Revelation chapter 9 to Satan concerning the locust army, "You cannot touch those that have the seal of God in their forehead." You know why? They're too smart for him. We know what his game is. We know what his tricks are. We know what his M.O. is. You're not going to go for it. Rather than finding him a temptation, you find him an abomination. So that time is coming, beloved. And the nearer that time comes, the more precious this table of the Lord becomes, that he has done this for us. I'm going to ask the ushers to come forward at this time, please. Don't ever let man judge you as to whether you're worthy to take Holy Communion or not, because that's not what the Scriptures say. The Scriptures say if you believe Christ was worthy, then take communion. And you either believe Christ was worthy or you're not really a Christian. You're just not with it. Therefore, you're always welcome to take communion here with the Shepherd's Chapel family. Now, in the center of the tray, there will be 9 cups that are grape juice. If you have health problems that you cannot take the pure wine, the pure wine is in the outer circles. And we are going to be very patient and see that everyone is served what it is they wish to be served. Okay? And again, don't ever, ever let someone prohibit you from taking communion if you believe Christ was worthy. After we just covered these scriptures, who would say he was unworthy other than Satan himself or a child of his? Because he indeed was worthy. So we come to that time where we're about to take of the bread. Listen, his body took the stripes. Our bodies receive the healing. If you need a healing or an anointing, this table is exactly that. when we partake of the bread, if you have a loved one, you can intercede for them. Take it for them for a healing, for a help, to change a life perhaps, to petition God. This is that time. It's the holy table of the Lord. Heavenly Father, as we come forward at this time, we thank you, Father, for the privilege of Passover. Just as it was at the first Passover when the death angel had to pass over the house that was had the door marked as ours is. Father, we thank you for that privilege today that Christ became that Passover lamb, and we partake of that Passover even at this time in Yeshua, Jesus' precious name. Amen.